Do you want to try it? Always a provocative question in any context, and one containing an implicit dare. It was an inquiry from the New York Times about writing an opinion column online. The phrase penal servitude leapt to mind, spoken by a friend who was driven just short of the madhouse by agreeing to turn out a punishing number of newspaper columns, and at painfully close intervals. Increasing insomnia and alcohol intake forced him to quit and take up gardening. Given pause by his experience, I asked, how often? 2 a week. Well, this sounded deceptively easy, having endured and survived the writing of 5 days a week monologue material for Jack Parr, Johnny Carson, and Merv Griffin for years. Not wishing to appear gutless to myself, I decided to accept the challenge, and it was only for the month of February. Most anybody, I should think, has at least 8 interesting subjects inside him. Hadn't a famous writer, I think it may have been Graham Greene, who said, anyone who has reached the age of 25 has material in him for at least 4 novels. Well, I used to quote that when my book Cavett was published, and I was asked by interviewers if age 37 wasn't a little early for an autobiography. The first few columns came easily, the fourth a little harder. At 5, I sensed desperation, but managed to squeeze out the remaining 3. I had done it, and in fact found it surprisingly enjoyable. Once they were completed, looking back on that first 8 seemed like a piece of angel food cake, and I was glad to have added journalist to my image. And then the Times proposed that I sign on for a year, and I began to sweat. A whole year. The order now was down to 1 a week, and in my dreams, the number 52 began to occur, made of concrete, 4 stories high, and marching toward me. A man I consider a real writer said, I don't envy you. I tried 30 columns a year once and nearly perished. Was this going to kill me? I really couldn't think what the next column would be, let alone the required string of them stretching far into the future. What else did I know? I felt written out. Somehow, after 3 years, I'm still at it. Looking at that fact, like Shakespeare's Hermia, I am amazed and know not what to say. Early on, I learned one thing. Writing lines to be spoken by famous comedians and writing for John and Jane Q. Public requires different sets of muscles. Writing for Groucho Marx, Johnny Carson, or Jack Benny, or any comic with a strong familiar voice requires being able to turn them on in your head so that what comes out is in their words and nobody else's. A misplaced or omitted certainly or at any rate or you know will make the line wrong for them. You could have fooled me is less Groucho than, well, you certainly could have fooled me. When Groucho guest hosted The Tonight Show way back, the first laugh I got for him was an aside I wrote. But enough of this bridled hilarity. In Groucho's voice, it got a laugh well out of proportion to its merits. I found it relatively easy to write for others. It's not always easy to identify your own voice. That comes with time. Before I ever sat down and tried to host a talk show, I had a call from Jack Parr. He had given me my first job as a comedy writer when I was still in my early 20s. Jack was a hero of mine, more of an obsession, really, and I rarely missed The Tonight Show when Jack was its host. When I got the job writing for Jack, I thought that if there is a heaven, it will be an anticlimax to this. The fact that I was handsomely paid, think of it, $360 a week and every week, barely occurred to me. I was there, on the inside of The Tonight Show. I watched the show as it was taped every night, and then watched it again at home. I think Jack sensed my obsession. He called me aside one night after the show and said, Kid, you shouldn't hang around here through the show. It'll ruin your life. Go home. After that, I watched the show from a part of the studio where Jack couldn't see me. Years passed, and the chance for me to host a talk show came along. This had never, ever been my ambition. My highest goal in this regard was to come maybe someday into a studio and be a guest on a talk show. Hosting was not even a dream. That was for the giants of my time, Steve Allen, Jack, Johnny. When the non-dream came true, and I was about to do my own show, a call came from Jack. It bore the single best piece of advice I or anyone doing a show could get. Kid, I've only got one piece of advice of what you might call counseling for you. Don't do interviews. What could Jack mean? To do the whole show myself? Show movies, read to the viewers? That exciting, nervous, famous voice continued. I mean, don't just do interviews, pal. You know, interview. It smacks of Q&A and David Frost and his clipboard and what's your favorite color and crap like most embarrassing moments. Don't do any of that. Make it a conversation.